Welcome to my podcast called You Must Be Out of Your Mind. My name is Dr. Don Wood. Everyone has experienced some trauma at times during their life. These traumatic events and experiences create a significant impact on how your mind works on a day-to-day basis. At the same time, creates long-term effects on your emotional and physical health. It will interfere with your ability to stay present and in the moment. After years of research, I used my knowledge of neuroscience to create what I call a memory reset. This memory reset reduces and eliminates the impact of the trauma and allows you to experience peace and clarity. My podcast will share many stories of people experiencing similar symptoms to you and how their lives have been positively impacted by our TIP program. I can't wait to share with you how the impossible is possible and why you must be out of your mind. And there it is.
Well, welcome to another podcast of You Must Be Out of Your Mind. And as you know, we always bring on amazing guests that have a lot to contribute to what we do at the Inspired Performance Institute. And today I have Louisa Havers, who is another great guest that's going to talk about what she's doing to help people. And it really ties in perfectly with what we do as well. So Louisa, welcome to You Must Be Out of Your Mind.
Oh, Don, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here and to chat with you.
Well, I love the work that you're doing and what you're sharing. So can you maybe give our audience a little bit of an idea of what you're doing? What's sort of the genesis of what you started and what you're doing?
Absolutely. So I work with entrepreneurs and help them to break through their money ceilings and to have more success in life and business. And the way I do that is by using a range of techniques. I call them energy psychology techniques. We, under the umbrella of the Helix method, which is the modality that I created, which evolved really out of years of working with clients, you know, both online and face to face. And one of the things I love to do, and I see huge results for people, is when we're helping people to release the traumatic experiences that they've had along the journey that have ultimately have an impact in their business.
So the Helix method, what exactly are you doing? Like, how does that work?
So with the Helix method, we are working very intentionally across the different levels of consciousness. So across, you know, tapping into the higher self, the conscious mind and the subconscious, and using muscle testing to help us to read what is going on in someone's, that they're holding in their body's intelligence. And so we're using that as one of the techniques to uncover what might be hidden, because, of course, you know, we know the stories that we're telling ourselves, but often I find there's so many layers beneath that initial story. It's like the story that we tell ourselves is the one that is palatable, the one that we've bought, right. If that makes sense. And actually, it's the layer beneath that that is really where we can get that deep work. Yeah, so that's one of the techniques that I love using is muscle testing. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with it. There's a number of different ways that you can, you know, of course, do it. My favorite one is actually where you use your body like a dowsing device. It's called the sway technique. And it's great because people can really feel their body respond when you're asking yes or no questions to see, you know, as you're doing the bit of sort of energy detective work to find out what's the truth behind the story that's, you know, you're telling yourself. Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah. I mean, it's really what they use in lie detector tests.
Yes.
You can't really lie to your subconscious. You can lie to the rest of the world, but your subconscious will really reveal what it's experiencing. And that's absolutely why I lied, even though they won't admit them into a lot of court proceedings because they consider it sort of woo-hoo science, but it really isn't. And you know from doing muscle testing that if somebody is lying about something, they may not even be lying, maybe not even intentionally lying, but they're just not aware of what the issue is, but their system will actually reveal it. And I think the key, Louisa, I don't know if you found this, but the key to me in what we're doing is to keep them in a safe place, because that's when the true self will come out, when they feel safe.
Mm.
And, you know, there's been, like, for example, schizophrenia is a severe response to trauma. So people who are schizophrenic have just become, their brains become so disorganized, and it's all coming from all this stress the mind is just constantly processing that traumatic information and can't handle it, becomes disorganized. But what's interesting is, and typically what they're going to do is medicate everybody with that.
Mm.
And I really believe it's coming down to trauma resolution. The problem is that they've become so fearful that it's hard for anybody to get them into a safe place. And that's why they really struggle. However, in Finland, they've been doing some very interesting studies on it, not using medication at all, and basically just bringing them into a circle of their friends and people that they feel safe with. And they take an approach of, let's just work with them for a period of time to get them into a safe place to process that trauma. And they've been getting some very interesting results. So is that sort of familiar with what you're doing as well, is getting them into that safe place so they can start processing?
Absolutely, because otherwise the body, I see this playing out in patterns that people have in their businesses, where if the body's feeling unsafe and the fright, freeze, fawn response is triggered, then you can have people creating problems with their cash flow, for example. Or I'm sure the audience will have heard things like, you've reached an upper limit when you know that you've had some money come in and then a bill goes out for the exact same amount. That kind of concept, I think, is in sort of everyday people's language, isn't it? In the sense of, hang on, what's going on here? But actually what's happening is the body, the subconscious, isn't feeling safe. And so is creating these scenarios. And I think it's actually mind blowing with how things can appear to be out of your control that show up in your business, but actually you've created it.
Yep.
If that makes sense. So people can kind of think, I didn't do that. And you're like, no, you did.
Yeah.
Because of various, responses along the way.
Well, one of the things is interesting, and this is what I talk to people about when I talk about sabotage, they'll say, oh, I sabotaged myself. And what I tell them is, it's scientifically impossible to sabotage yourself. Your brain is protecting you from some pain. So it may look like sabotage if you sit in and analyze it, because you'll say, well, I was doing all these great things and all of a sudden I go and I blow up the whole thing by going doing something dumb.
Mm. Right?
But in actual fact, the mind was not ready for that and was trying to stop it. And it figured out another way to go. Does that
help
you as well?
Absolutely. I always say your subconscious is actually your friend. It wants to be your best friend. It's looking after you. The beliefs that you're holding have all been there to serve you. They are now limiting, because that's another language that we have, isn't it? Or I've got a limiting belief. Well, it's limiting now, but it wasn't in the point of creation. It was very of high service in the point of creation to keep you safe. So if we're able to allow the subconscious to feel safe as you're doing the healing and the reprogramming and the rewiring work, to be able to, for it not to be rejected, then you're being able to move forward and expand, feeling safe, the subconscious feeling this is normal. It doesn't like uncertainty. It can stay safe moving forward. It's one of those things, I think it's kind of simple when we're talking about it like this, but it's complex because the subconscious is vast and we have so many experiences that, of course, we know the ones that we remember, but then the subconscious may have just locked some away just to keep them out of your sort of conscious mind, to protect them and to ultimately protect you.
Yeah. There's so many examples I can give. I'll give one because it's actually pretty dramatic, because most people would think this isn't a problem.
Mm.
So I've got a gentleman that comes to see me. He's making $2 million a year, trading stocks, derivatives, bonds, stuff like that. Pretty successful guy.
Mm.
So most people would say, well, give me that problem. What his issue was is, he said, in the fourth quarter, he says, I shut down. He goes, I don't know why. He says, my partners get upset with me. He says, I make excuses not to come into the office. I take vacations. I just sort of go play golf. Anything I can do to avoid coming into the office. He goes, I don't know why. He says, because I'll just feel this sense of dread. And I don't have that most of the year, but it comes in the fourth quarter. So what we uncovered is that when he was a child, his father is his hero, was his mentor, very, very successful man, but went bankrupt four times. And he says, I remember flying in private jets to moving in the middle of the night, right? Because we were being foreclosed on. He says, to going back to private jets to being foreclosed on four times. So what we learned from that is that his mind was trying to protect him. The fourth quarter is the most volatile in the stock market. And so it's basically saying, we got a couple million bucks in the bank, right? It's time to shut down and conserve it and protect it. So don't go in and mess it up. Right? And he said, never had, because his father was his hero. He never saw his father as being, and his father's not trying to hurt him. But a very young child doesn't have enough life experience to understand what they're seeing. And the meaning that it connected to that is that you can lose everything if you take too many risks, if you get out of that risk tolerance. And his father obviously did that. So he, I guess in his mind, had considered his risk tolerance is about $2 million.
Yes.
And then it set. And he could not, and he didn't even know why he was doing it. And so it wasn't obvious to him. He had never considered it anything to do with his childhood. And once we discovered that, he said to me, he said, on his drive home, he drove in for about an hour. He wasn't that far away. He says, that was the most peaceful ride he's ever had. And he called me on December 15th to let me know that was his final day in the office. He says, I'm taking the rest of the year off. He says, and had his best year ever.
That's amazing. That is amazing. And it, you know, it doesn't surprise me because it's just incredible how creative the subconscious is to keep you safe. I had a client where she was having roller coaster months where she'd be, you know, for example, like 100K one month and then nothing the next, and then, you know, 50K the next month. And then, you know, it was literally going up and down and up and down. She came to me, she was like, what is going on? The marketing hasn't changed, you know. It should be, you know, smooth sailing. We should be having some sort of nice smooth averages. And through muscle testing, we, you know, how did I do it? I'd asked her the question of like, what was your income the previous year? And she didn't know off the top of her head, but we started doing some muscle testing to find out what her kind of her body felt safe to hold. And we got to a very specific amount, which, you know, 313, I don't know, whatever it was, $1,000. We then helped her subconscious to feel safe to be able to expand that. And I said to her after we finished the session, just let me know what your amount was that you bought in last year. And it was that exact amount that her body had told her she was safe to bring in. So, of course, it was literally just creating these different scenarios that she was creating this trauma that she was having now in her business because of previous experience of it only feeling safe to have that certain amount in. So it's, I see it a lot. It's incredible.
It really is. And a lot of people, sometimes they'll hear that and they'll say, oh, I can't believe that that could be like that. I wouldn't fall under that trap. That would never happen to me. But it's once you understand how the brain works, and that's what I did a lot of research on, it started to reveal to me so much about why people do what they do. And I call it your atmospheric conditions. What did you grow up in? What were your atmospheric conditions? So my wife grew up in a very traumatic household with a lot of anger and violence. So her atmospheric conditions were very dark and stormy. So she saw the world that way because it filters through those atmospheric conditions to then create a response to the present situation. So I had the absolute opposite. I had this idyllic childhood with no stress and no pressure. So I could look at a business opportunity and see where I think this could work. Mm-hmm. Where Bridget, my wife, would look at it and try to figure out how it's going to fall apart. And it was, I'm looking at how it's going to grow. She's looking how it's going to fail. That had nothing to do with her. That had to do with the way her mind was trying to protect her. She had to know where the danger was because her atmospheric conditions were different than mine. And so before I really understood that, I would get frustrated and I'd say, well, here's this really great opportunity we have. And she'd come back an hour later with a list of everything that was going to go wrong. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? What if this happens? What if that happens? That made no sense to me. I couldn't understand how she could go down so many rabbit holes, but I didn't understand her atmospheric conditions truly. Mm. Once I understood it, it made perfect sense to me. And that was all happening on a subconscious level. Great mom, great wife, you know, no issues with that, but not truly enjoying the success we were having. And I couldn't, didn't make sense to me. Because I thought we've got a beautiful home, we've got three beautiful children, our business is doing really well. And yet she's always just like holding her breath.
Mm.
And it didn't, like, there would be times we'd be driving, Louisa, and she'd go, like, take this big breath. And I go, what was that? Right? And she'd go, I just wasn't breathing.
Oh, my goodness.
She would stop breathing because of the tension that was building. Her mind was looping through her trauma. And you know what? When you get scared, we stop breathing.
Mm.
So all of a sudden, even though she was sitting in a car with me or sitting in a room with me, her mind was still running that data.
That's
what I learned was the issue.
Mm. It's huge, isn't it? And it's to be in that space of, I call it anticipating the rug being pulled from underneath you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the body's on high alert. Even if you're not kind of thinking consciously that that's happening all the time, there's a lot going on in your physical body with that level of sort of low level stress, if you like, as you're kind of anticipating that there's danger. Someone's going to come and pull the rug underneath you. You can't really enjoy it because something bad might happen. And that can just start to, you know, suck the joy out of being an entrepreneur and enjoying the creativity that we can get to create when we're running our businesses.
Yeah, if you get into that hyper state of vigilance, here's the other thing that's interesting. That begins to feel normal.
Mm.
So that's why you don't recognize it. So if you measured their brainwave activity, you would see it. But if you've lived in that hypervigilant state for most of your life, which is what Bridget did, right? It didn't feel abnormal.
No.
Because it was like, that's how I am. That's, you know, that's normal for me. So if you've walked with a sprained ankle for 30 years and you're limping every day, right? You don't notice you're limping. If somebody said, why are you limping? You go, well, I don't limp. Right? Yeah, I can see you're limping, right? Mm-hmm. And it's those patterns that will show up subconsciously that you don't even realize. And here's another great example. So I love working with professional athletes. I do a lot of work with them. So let's take a golfer, for example. So if a golfer wants to change his swing, he has to go out and figure out what swing change he wants to make. And then he has to go out on the range and practice that to groove in, right, that swing. So I basically say what he's doing is coding.
Mm.
So what the brain is doing is coding how to do it. So then this golfer is doing that. And then he's playing, let's say, in the British Open, right?
Yeah.
And he's on the back nine on the fourth day to win the British Open. And all of a sudden, the old swing shows up. Why did that happen? Because the mind said, we're in danger here. We could lose this. Let's go back to what we know we can do. We have a tried and true golf swing that has served us well, right? And without them consciously realizing they're doing it, right? But if they had them on camera and analyzed it, they'd say, oh, he just went back to his old swing. He wouldn't even know he did it. It's amazing.
It's incredible. Absolutely incredible, isn't it? How you can think that you're in control without that, but being really intentional and being able to catch those behaviors and that awareness to be able to make the change. And in those moments where the stress builds up, we do all go back to that default.
Fall back to the default.
Yeah.
Are you tired of dealing with stress, anxiety, panic attacks, depression, even feeling broken? Have traumatic events and experiences in your life created post-traumatic stress for you? Perhaps you're an athlete, an executive, trying to reach that next level of performance. Well, there's nothing wrong with you, and there's nothing wrong with your mind. Your mind is dealing with some glitches and error messages as a result of these traumatic events or disturbing events earlier in your life. It's interfering with your ability to stay present because the memory keeps on looping, activating your nervous system. I've helped thousands of people deal with anxiety, panic attacks, depression, feeling that sense of brokenness. We can clear that in as little as 4 hours. Check out our website, inspiredperformanceinstitute.com, and check out some of the stories and testimonials. Some of these may relate to what you've experienced in your life, and we look forward to helping you reach your next level of performance. And there it is.
I have another great example. Again, I'm a golfer, right? So I was, I got some new golf clubs. This is a few years ago. And they said, oh, you get a free lesson with the clubs. And I thought, all right, I'll take the lesson. I've never really taken lessons. So anyway, the guy videotaped me and he said, well, he says, swing looks really good. He says, I have one suggestion if you'd like to hear it. And I said, sure. Mm. He says, every once in a while, do you feel you hit the ball a little heavy? Like you hit behind the ball a little bit? I said, yeah. And he says, every once in a while, I noticed you dipped your front shoulder. He says, but you're pretty athletic and I see you getting it corrected. And I don't even know I'm doing this, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And he said, so that little dip comes in every once in a while. And if you don't get it back, you don't correct it, you're going to hit the ball heavy. And he said, that's what, and I thought, that sort of makes sense. So I was playing the next day. So I said to my friend that I was playing with, I said, I'm just practicing today. You can keep your score. I'm just trying to develop this new swing change. Right. So I just want to focus on that, not on my score. So we're on the first nine. And I notice on the fifth hole, he's keeping my score. And I said to Louise, I said, Jim, don't keep my score. I don't want to know. And he goes, I'm just keeping it for myself. I said, I don't even want you keeping it for yourself. He wants to beat me, right?
So yeah.
I said, I don't even want you to keep it. Just ignore my score. Right. So anyway, we finished the ninth hole. We're going to the 10th hole. And I look and I see the card and he's written down the scores. And I said, let me tell you, Jim, why I don't want you to do that. Mm-hmm. I said, if my mind thinks that I'm going to lose, it will not allow me to make the adjustments to my swing. I have to just be free of that thought, not worrying about that I'm going to lose to you or I'm going to lose or I'm going to fail. I said, so you have to stop it. I'm not asking you for any other reason, but for me to keep my mind focused on making the change. That's the power of the mind.
Yeah, that is such a good description for people to really understand like what is going on, that story. Yeah, I love that. There's so many, you can apply this to sports so well. One of my sons is an avid athlete as well. So this is these examples. I was like, oh, I think I'll have to get him to listen to the show because he'll love this. But it's incredible that being able to, I do a lot of visualization with my clients to help them to have their body to have the experience already of having the success that they want without the attachment so that they're not good. So that it becomes the new default. They're not then trying to recreate the old or also being able for their body to feel the new emotions in their body, you know, how the chemical reactions of the emotions in their body rather than having that withdrawal symptom, if you like, from the feeling of, hang on, I haven't got any stress running through my body right now. And I know what that feels like. And I'm actually missing that. So then wanting to recreate it. So we've got the mind's intelligence and the body's intelligence kind of going, no, hang on, let's just default back to that pathway. to what we know, to that old way of being.
I think what your son will love with this, this is what we've discovered again in some of our research. And I said I work with a lot of athletes. What I discovered is that this unresolved trauma actually affects the ATP, the energy, the mitochondria in our cells. When we release that trauma, we release that energy.
Mm-hmm.
So now they perform at a higher level. So I'll give you an example. I was working with a guy who, Marco Chiseto. Marco is a marathon runner from Kenya, mm-hmm. who lost both his legs below the knees to a suicide attempt. So they had to build him prosthetics to walk again, and then they built him blades to start running. But he had plateaued in his training, and he wasn't getting any better. So they sent him to me to say, can you help him? We think he's got great potential, but he's not improving no matter how much training we're doing. So I took him through the program, and 9 days later, he ran in a marathon and took 15 seconds per mile off his time.
Wow.
And then about a month later, he ran in the Boston Marathon and broke the world record. He's now the world record holder for marathoners running with amputations.
That's incredible.
And then a couple months later, broke his own world record by another 5 minutes and got signed by Nike.
Oh.
And what I said to him, I said, Marco, I didn't make you a faster runner. You were always that fast.
Mm.
You just didn't have that energy available because it was running the trauma loop.
Yes.
And so we can actually, it was really interesting. We worked with another group called the Lake Nona Performance Center, who work with world-class athletes. And I took their whole team through my program. And the one guy stopped me. He says, you just blew my mind. He said, we could never understand why these world-class athletes, their heart rate variability would change even when they were at rest. He says, what you're telling me is the trauma loop was that change? And I said, absolutely. Mm-hmm. He goes, we just never knew why it was happening. But that's it.
That's incredible. I call that energetic reversals, when we're kind of going around in a loop and feeling like you're not moving forward. And like as you say, I've seen it when people start to let go of that trauma, heal it, release the energy reversals, as I call it. So you're not kind of moving backwards away from what you want. Things can just speed up so much more quickly because you've got all that free energy to be able to direct and focus your attention.
It's just like a computer. You know, if you open up and you have 10 programs open up in your computer, you're going to slow down the computer, right? There's nothing wrong with the computer. It's only got 100% of its energy available. And if you diffuse it across different platforms, it's going to affect it. It has to.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It's just the way the mind works.
Yeah, it's that scattered attention, I think, and we're seeing it all the time, these competing demands for our attention everywhere, new platforms, social media opening up. and if we're not careful, people being worried that they're going to miss out on something, and so spreading themselves too thin across their aspects of their business. And then, of course, that dilutes everything that they are trying to, you know, achieve in their business if they haven't got the structures in place.
Right. Yeah, but there's so many examples. So obviously you do muscle testing. What other kinds of things are you doing to sort of help with the clients?
So we have a process at the beginning when we're working with people that through intention, getting them to be aware of their higher self, their conscious mind and their subconscious through an invocation. And what I found through, it's a really simple process, but what I found through that intention, and of course, you know, where our attention is, that is really, really powerful, is people start to become listening to themselves more, listening to that inner voice of wisdom rather than the voice of the ego or the voice of fear, however you want to, you know, describe it. And then we use a rewiring in the sense of, you call coding in, so coding into the subconscious through intention. So letting go of beliefs that are no longer serving them. So finding out where they're holding that in their body. And so we do that through the muscle testing, but also because once you start listening to the body, I have found people go, oh, my back's suddenly hurting. I don't know why. Why is my back hurting? I'm like, well, pay attention, because your subconscious is showing you where you've been holding that experience, trauma, belief, memory, whatever it is. And so by being able to connect their thinking with their body really enables them to kind of let it go, if that makes sense. And so we do that through them paying attention to their somatic sensations. What's the word I'm looking for? Releasing statements, and then doing the coding in with, okay, well, what's the belief that's actually going to help you? And attaching that to a visualization of what that's going to feel like, so that the body kind of already knows what it feels like to hit that new golf shot in that certain way, and for that to feel like the new normal, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, other people might kind of describe that as our clients are in a sort of semi-hypnotic state when we're doing the coding in, so that, you know, their subconscious accepts it more readily.
Right. So do you use hypnosis? Is that what you're using?
Do you know what? I wouldn't say that I'm using hypnosis, but in the sense of a formal training, this has kind of evolved around how I've worked with, you know, I've got a degree in psychology and my background's in psychology. So it's been bringing all of that through, and the energy healing that they've done. So I would say it's semi-hypnotic rather than it being sort of officially hypnosis, if that makes sense. I do use, it takes people into a theta state as well, is doing Akashic record activations and helping people. It's like just changing the channel to being able to kind of tap into a higher level of consciousness. So I do bring meditations, if you like, Akashic record meditations, and guide people through those to help them be able to access wisdom that's going to support them in choosing, you know, different ways to move forward, and to be able to allow themselves to let things go and to feel safe to let things go. Does that make sense?
No, totally makes sense. Yeah. Same thing with me. I don't get into hypnosis, where it's a much sort of more alpha on the theta range, right? Theta is sort of the processing stage. Alpha is the relaxed focus stage. So that sort of combination, I think, works better because the person's literally conscious through the whole thing. They don't feel like they're ever waking up.
Yeah. Right?
They've never, ever gone under. So that works really well. So we've been doing brain mapping to sort of see what's going on and the differences. And what we have found through, because when we first said, we want to brain map them before our session and then map them 30 or more days afterwards. Some of them were up to almost 6 months.
Wow.
And we sort of said, what's the change in the brain? And what originally, so the people who did the study with us, the guy said to me, he says, listen, I've been doing this for 30 years. He says, I don't think you're going to get what you're looking for. I want to keep your expectations in check.
Mm-hmm.
He says, if you got a 20% change in brain plasticity, you will have hit a home run. He says, so that would be a home run for you. And so I said that. And he says, but I'm just going to report what I report. And I said, that's fine. That's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So when we finished, the report came back at 46% change in brain plasticity.
That's incredible.
He now became our fan. He went from skeptic to fan, right? And saying, I can't believe you could change it that much. There's no medication. We don't do anything but let their own mind do all the work.
Oh, the mind is beautiful.
Yeah. The mind and body are designed to heal.
Yes.
Yeah. What's interfering with the healing is the trauma loop. Because if you're being chased by a lion, your system is not going to want to do maintenance. It's going to go into shutting down maintenance and move all the energy to survival.
Yes.
And now you're going to be in a survival mode, not in a maintenance mode. And then that's going to create inflammation. It's going to compromise your immune system. It's going to compromise your neurotransmitters. You're going to get sicker and feel bad. And if you get stuck in that, so a lot of people say, oh, inflammation is the worst thing. And I said, inflammation is not the problem. Chronic inflammation is the problem. it gets stuck on. It's not designed to get stuck on. It's designed to turn on and turn off, right? Designed to protect you. It's a cell danger response. But if it gets stuck in a loop, as you know, the subconscious doesn't know if it's yesterday, tomorrow, or now. Everything is now. So it's fully present in the moment. So it's seeing trauma in real time and activating the nervous system.
Yeah.
It has to.
It does. It's an incredible, I mean, I just think we are living miracles, aren't we, how our bodies work. And when we can really understand the power that we have within us to be able to work with that is just absolutely phenomenal. I'm so glad that your colleague was able to go from skeptic to, you know, full fan, because, you know, the more people I think that, you know, understand this work and realize what they can do and whoever that they're working with, so that they can really start to unlock the magic that's within is, you know, we just want more and more people to be able to tap into that, I think.
Yeah, I think where his skepticism was coming from is how fast we were doing it. So I think he realized, I think he believed that we were getting something done. What he didn't believe is it would be as fast. And so we're doing another study now where I'm actually doing a brain QEEG on the person's brain during the session I do with them.
Oh, wow.
Which I really wanted to see, what is the brain doing during one of these clearings, like when we're starting to work on the trauma work? Because I don't work on trauma. I do a 4-hour session. The first 2 hours is just all science and education. And then when we get to about the third hour, then I start, I'll ask them for 2 or 3 events that they've had in their lifetime that they can recall. And we'll start to reset those. So we started doing the recording in the third hour when we started to do the trauma clearing. And so we had it on for that hour. I was actually watching the device live saying, okay, what's going to happen? So for the first half hour, we saw it pretty steady.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, it just took off.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the brain go into a very heavy theta delta state.
Yeah.
Right? Which is processing and maintenance.
Yeah.
And so when I, at the end of the session, I got really excited while I was watching this. I said, if I am seeing what I think I'm seeing, this is telling me that the brain is processing the trauma, heavy data loads of trauma in real time. And so that was on the Friday. This is about 2 weeks ago. And on the Saturday, the gentleman who's going to read all the data, he came in on the Saturday because he just happened to be in town. So he took the data and read it and was like, wow, like that's scientifically significant.
It's huge.
To see the brain change like that in real time.
You're making me want to go and get some gadgets, Don. This is just incredible.
We have all this stuff. It's really interesting because that's what people are looking for. And it takes it out of the mystery and said, this is science.
It is. Yeah.
It's how the brain works.
Yeah. Incredible. And
what I always talk about is the brain. I says, think of the brain as a computer, right? The mind is the software running inside the computer. Software is prone to glitches and error messages.
Yes. Yes.
It's running a series of glitches and error messages that affects the way the system works. And all we have to do is reboot the brain, reboot glitches. And that's generally coming from trauma.
It is. And it's, and I just wanted to add to what you're saying there, because I just think this is so important of people as their awareness grows, that they're not the thoughts that they're thinking. Those are the trauma responses, you know, whatever it might be. And actually a whole new aspect of their personality is then revealed as they let go of those thought processes. It's just, I feel like people can become more of who they truly are when those error messages are rebooted. As you, I think that was just a beautiful way to describe it.
It's a simple way for them to understand. So like I say, when I talk to them about different things, if they come in and they'll say, I have depression, I'll say depression is a function of the brain, not a dysfunction. And they'll say, well, how could it be a function? And I said, your brain is shutting down. it can't handle the stress. So it's trying to stop you from the pain. So I said, depression is the absence of emotions. You've gone flat because it hasn't corrected what it's been trying to correct. Chances are it can't correct it because it's old trauma, but your mind doesn't know that. So to protect you, so when somebody says, I have depression, what I will ask them, tell me what you're angry about. And they'll go, well, I'm not angry, I'm depressed. And I go, yeah, depression's anger. Your mind has been trying to get something fixed for a long time, and it can't fix it because it's not fixable. But your mind doesn't know that. So to stop you from that pain, it goes into a shutdown, a depressed mode. Depression is no emotions. You're not feeling at all. If you get to the root of the issue, what's causing, right, this pain, you'll solve the depression. Depression is just the function. It's the symptom. It's not the problem. It's the same thing with addiction. When I work with people in addiction, I say addiction is not a disease. It's a code. It's the way your brain coded to stop you from pain. So if you have emotional pain and you keep feeling this pain, and then every time you take that drug or you take a drink, the pain stops. What did you just teach your brain? That there's a solution.
To stop it. Yeah.
And so it's going to build a code and it's going to default to that code. And that's why you haven't been able to stop it. There's nothing wrong with you. There's nothing wrong with your mind. Let's get to the root cause.
Do you know what? There's so many people out there that I think come thinking that there is something wrong, which is just a tragedy because, you know, that's not a good starting point to be, to think there's something, you know, wrong with me, to be able to heal from a place of actually, you know, my body's working perfectly. And I'm just going to change the response is such a different way to be able to grow from and to heal from. I think that's really important.
Yeah. I'll have people, when I say that, it's one of the things I say to everybody when they come in, there's nothing wrong with you and there's nothing wrong with your mind. They'll cry.
Yeah.
Because that's not what they've been told, right? Especially when you deal with people in addiction, they've been told they're broken, they're defeated, they need to surrender, and they need to apologize for their bad behavior to all the people they've hurt. And what I say is, this was not something that you created. This got created for you. You don't need to apologize for anything, right? Your mind has been trying to protect you. Now, we're not letting you off the hook. We're not excusing the behavior. We're just saying, if you understood it, you wouldn't blame them anymore.
Yes. And having some self-compassion, I think, being able to be in that space where I think that the education that, you know, being able people to be educated around what's really going on is really important so that they can have full self-compassion and ultimately start to love themselves a little bit more. We all need to be able to, I think we can all do with a top up of loving ourselves more to be able to really feel that joy and happiness in life and to heal further.
Absolutely. So as I saw in some of your information as well, you do a lot of manifesting. Is that something that you do as well? So tell me what you do to help people manifest.
Oh, my word. I absolutely love it. So one of the things that I do, well, again, I use the muscle testing to find out what's going on and where the blocks are and why they might not be manifesting what they want to manifest. But really being able to bring people into changing their identity as to, because we create from who we are being. So, you know, ultimately working at that identity level, then working on their thoughts, beliefs, and their emotions and their actions to be able to then allow themselves to create and experience that next level that they're wanting to have in life, whether it's, you know, a relationship, a new house, the next success in business, or if someone's having success in business, it may be actually feeling that more fulfillment inside that they're looking for, where perhaps they might have traded success. They've traded with the universe, as I call it, where you're like, yes, I want to have, I can only allow myself to have this much joy. So I'll have this much joy in my business. And then I'm going to go and only allow myself to have, you know, a teeny tiny bit of self-fulfillment, or, you know, not have the relationship that I desire. So I help people look at, you know, the sort of wheel of life in terms of what they want to achieve. And then really allowing themselves to do the, I think it's a balance of the healing work with healing, you know, if it's money story, healing a money story, and then really being able to embody the identity so that your body knows who this new being is that you're creating, because that's when you'll have the manifested scene in your life.
Absolutely. No, it sounds fascinating. I love what you're doing, and you're helping a lot of people. We've been doing this for a while. It sort of came from your own experience as well. So you developed some health issues, right?
Yes.
Being overly stressed.
Yeah. Right? I used to work for social services and led on lots of things over there. And just towards the health issues manifested just about a year or two before I left, because I was like, right, hang on now, I'm leaving. I got shingles and chronic fatigue after a very stressful period in my life. And it wasn't lost on me that my dad, before his sort of period of ill health, before he passed, he also got shingles. So it was a beautiful gift from the universe to kind of go, what do you really want to be doing in your life now, Louisa? And so I just started on that, you know, that journey of training and deciding that I was going to have a more fulfilling life myself and to get out of working in corporate and working for social services. And that was about, oh gosh, yeah, I was just looking at the calendar there. It's about 7 years ago now that I actually finally left and decided to hang up the corporate hat and to start my own business.
Well, you look happy. I'm sure you're enjoying it. And then it's such joy at helping other people achieve what they can achieve as well, because most people don't understand it. So a lot of people could have experienced what you experienced and just assumed that they have to live and manage and cope with that.
Mm.
What you did is said, no, I can fix it. And so it's great that you're able to do that and help other people. So I know we could probably talk about this for the next 2 hours. However, I know you've got some stuff to get done and I got to get some more stuff done. So tell everybody, if they want to reach out to you or learn more about you, where do they go to find out?
Oh, thank you. Yes, do reach out. You can find me at louisahavers.com. I tend to hang out on social media on Facebook. That's the place that I'm most likely to actually answer your message. And then clientcare@louisahavers.com is a great way to get a hold of us as well.
Awesome. So I encourage you, if you resonate with what Louisa is talking about, certainly get a hold of her and talk to her about what she's doing. We're all in the world of healing, so nobody has competition. So whatever works for you, works for you. So Louisa, thank you so much for spending the time. It was a pleasure to get to know you. And everybody listening, thank you again for listening to another episode of You Must Be Out of Your Mind. And there it is.